Primus there.
Yes, it was.
On New Primus, off the Brown Album, on 89.7 WITR, Henrietta.
Modern Music and More.
I don't know what track that was. Hey, Rick!
First one.
The Return of Sylington Willoughby. Alright, yeah. First track off the Brown Album. That was the end of Nothing Is. Rick is gone. Well, Rick is still friggin' here, but he's not on the air anymore.
He's standing in the back making faces at us.
He's gonna go smoke.
Instead, he's gonna go smoke, everybody, in the non-smoking building. But we're friggin' here, and we're playing comedy and stuff until 3 a.m. So if you have nothing better to do, like sleep, or have a job in the morning or anything like that, you can stay up and listen to us and laugh and fall asleep halfway through the show. Or you can call us up at 475-2271 and request something that you want to hear specifically. And if it's funny and we have it, I'll try to play it for you. We're going to start off with the Youpers with a song called We're Still Rockin'. And I don't know. I'm thinking maybe towards the end of the show, I'll play a nice long Fireside Theater thing, since I've never played anything by them before.
That'd be cool. We got lots of stuff by them in the back.
Rick is saying yes.
Yeah.
But of course, what does Rick know? He likes Tony O'K.
Well, Rick will be asleep by then anyway, right?
Probably. All right, so here are the Youpers with We're Still Rockin'.
It all started 1963. Santa brought me Monopoly, two G.I. Joes and some Hot Wheel cars. Grandma and Pa got me an electric guitar. My cousin Billy was a geeky face. Santa surprised him with a Beatle bass. My neighbor Mikey, the dork, was my chum. That lucky bugger got a new set of drums.
We formed a band and called it the Collage. Dad moved the car so we could use the garage. And we were rocking.
Bye. This will be a take, see?
Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit.
Fluffer and Fuckatash, that sounds worse than a Tweety Bird in a blender. You gotta get with a time zomer. Here, try it like this.
Hey, Spooey Wabbit, don't you mess with me. I'm a super wabbit killer, I'm bad, you see. I'm Elmer Fudd, I own a mansion and a yacht. And all the widow ladies dig what I got. I'm on to the teeth and I can't be beat. I'm a crazy old mother for wabbit meat. All the wabbits I catch, they pay me cash. So, hey, Spooey Wabbit, better cover your ass. I'm wappin'. No wabbit's gonna catch me nappin'. I think that before I get much dinner, I'll be taking you home with me for dinner. See, I have this recurring fantasy of using you in one of my recipes. You had all the success goes straight to your head, but it's fattening you up, so I'll be well fed. You're a dried up, squirrely old fat Welsh wabbit with a $2,000 a day carrot hat. I'm wappin', and nothing's gonna catch me nappin'. You're gonna wish you were a specimen in the zoo, cause it's all over wabbit, I'm coming for you. I wear a hunting type candies and I carry a gun, and I'll blow your brains out just for fun. You could hide anywhere, you could hide in the sewer, but you're gonna wind up at the end of my sewer. You think you're hot, but much hotter you'll be when you're about to dip wabbit quite quicker. See, I'm wappin', and nothing's gonna catch me.
Well, Fluffer and Fuckatash, how did he get in here?
Hey, what's up, Doug? So you think you're the Pope, or is your brain fried out on chimpy soap? What's the secret here, Fuzzy? Have you got some serum that makes you all short and fat and gruesome? You take you through the woods for 50 years. shooting everything with floppy ears. Chasing after me across a big sensation. The Elmer Fudd method of education. I'm going to the rabbit club to quap a few. So here's the last thing I'm gonna say to you. Take your mansion and your broken down yacht and kiss my study old rabbit shot. Ain't I a stinker? What about you?
Gee, Fuzzy, you want to try nothing again when you're feeling better, son?
Oh, shut up, you rotten old pussy cat. I'll get you tooth on you. This is a wet one.
Oh, I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, and I don't like it one bit. Well, what do you know? It's nibbling my toe. Oh, gee, it's up to my knee. Oh, my, it's up to my thigh. Oh, fiddle, it's up to my middle. Oh, heck, it's up to my neck. Oh, dread, it's up to my... I'll sing you a poem of a silly young king who played with the world at the end of a string, but he only loved one single thing, and that was just a peanut butter sandwich. His scepter and his royal gowns, his regal throne and golden crowns were all brown and sticky from the mounds and drippings from each peanut butter sandwich. His subjects all were silly fools, for he had passed a royal rule that all that they could learn in school was how to make a peanut butter sandwich. He would not eat his sovereign steak. No, he scorned his soup, take it away, and his kingly cake, and told his courtly cook to bake an extra sticky peanut butter sandwich. And then, one day, he took a bite and started chewing with delight. But he found that his mouth was stuck quite tight from that last bite of peanut butter sandwich. His brother pulled, his sister pried, the wizard pushed, his mother cried, my boy's committed suicide from eating that last peanut butter sandwich. The dentist came, and the royal doc, the royal plumber, banged, and knocked, but still those jaws stayed tightly locked. Oh, darn that sticky peanut butter sandwich. The carpenter, he tried with pliers. The telephone man tried with wires. The firemen, they tried with fire. Oh, but couldn't melt that peanut butter sandwich. With ropes and pulleys, drills and coil, with steam and lubricating oil, for 20 years of tears and toil, they fought that awful peanut butter sandwich. And then all his royal subjects came. They hooked his jaws with grappling chains and pulled both ways with might and main against that stubborn peanut butter sandwich. Each man and woman, girl and boy, put down their plows and pots and toys and pulled until... Oh, joy. They broke right through. Peanut butter sandwich. A puff of dust. A screech. A squeak.
jaws opened with a creak. And then, in voice so faint and weak, the first words that they heard him speak were, "Hobo, a peanut butter sandwich."
I'll be down to see you in the fallout shelter, baby. You better be ready about half past 1983. Just in case we're here to stay, I got 13 cases of Perrier. Don't go down to the shelter with anyone else but me. I'll be down to see you in the fallout shelter, baby. Civil defense with you seems mighty grand.
To give you an idea of what an individualist he was, he spelled it H-E-N-3-R-Y. The three was silent, you see. Henry was financially independent, having inherited his father's tar and feather business, and was therefore able to devote his full time to such intellectual pursuits as writing. I particularly remember a heartwarming novel of his about a young necrophiliac who finally achieved his boyhood ambition by becoming coroner. The rest of you can look it up when you get home. In addition to writing, he indulged in a good deal of philosophizing. Like so many contemporary philosophers, he especially enjoyed giving helpful advice to people who were happier than he was. And one particular bit of advice which I recall, which is the reason I bring up this whole dreary story, is something he said once before they took him away to the Massachusetts State Home for the Bewildered. He said, "Life is like a sewer. What you get out of it depends on what you put into it." It's always seemed to me that this is precisely the sort of dynamic, positive thinking that we so desperately need today in these trying times of crisis and universal brouhaha. And so with this in mind, I have here a modern, positive, dynamic, uplifting song in the tradition of the great old revival hymns. This one might more accurately be termed a survival hymn. It goes like this. When you attend the funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, No more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement and inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. Oh, we will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. Down by the old maelstrom, there'll be a storm before the calm, and we will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. Oh, we will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are. Oh, we will all burn together when we burn. There'll be no need to stand and wait your turn. When it's time for the fallout and St. Peter calls us all out, we'll just drop our agendas and adjourn. You will all go directly to your respective Valhallas. Go directly, do not pass, go, do not collect $200. And we will all go together when we go. Every Hottentot and every Eskimo, when the air becomes Uranus, we will all go simultaneous. Yes, we all will go together when we all go together. Yes, we all will go together when we go.
Seems to be the problem, boys.
You gotta get us out of here.
That judge just sentenced us to playing 200 hours of nothing but country music.
Leave everything to me. Your Honor, these hardened criminals are not fit to live, let alone play country music. And furthermore, I feel...
You're supposed to be defending us.
Oh, really? Your Honor, when in the course of human events, fine young individuals like these fellows are unjustly accused, whereas the postulate of detrimental reliance heretofore tends to stifle...
Enough! I can't take any more of that lawyer galloping. Just get them palmers out of here.
When they think you're anywhere, you can bet that he'll be there. Powder Talk Man, Powder Talk Man. He'll sprint across the sky, facing backwards as he flies. Powder Talk Man, Powder Talk Man. When they think you're anywhere, you can bet that he'll be there. Powder Talk Man, Powder Talk Man. He'll sprint across the sky, facing backwards as he flies. Powder Talk Man.
Back on the road.
And I tell you, Stimpy, all that time in the courtroom has made me hungry.
Well then, Ren, I'll make your favorite meal.
Hog jowls.
Let's pull over.
Later that night.
Ren, I hope you're still hungry, because I've got lots more jowls.
Lots more jowls.
Baby, why don't we advertise hog jowls on the radio? We'll sell a million of them.
Stimpy's hog jowls, a deep-fried treat.
Fry 'em by the bag full.
So much fun to eat.
Put your fingers in their nostrils.
Suck 'em right down.
Stimpy's hog jowls, the best in town.
Come to K-Day's and get your red hot hog jowls. And we're also giving away thousands of fantastic prizes.
Then there those hog jowls we smell.
Hog jowls.
Hog jowls? Come on, honey. Grab the children.
Well, we finally did something good with this puny 10-watt station. And I know how to make it even better. Let's take our hog jowl profits and go to the only place in America where we can buy fame. Hollywood!
Yes! America's cultural mecca. Let's go, Ren.
Hog jowls.
Hog jowls. Ren and Stimpy and Powdered Toast Man and hog jowls.
How powerful is a 10-watt station?
Not very. Like, not at
across
all.
The room, or?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
What are we, 1,000 watts here?
We're 1,000.
We go, what, 30 miles or so?
Something like that.
So figure a tenth of that. No, a hundredth of that. About 30 feet.
Across the room.
But a 10-watt station in a metropolitan area could reach a lot of people, like 500,000 to 1,000,000 at any one time. Like if you were right in New York City or Chicago or Tokyo or something like that.
It gets the whole building.
Yeah, like you could radiate the whole building or several whole buildings where they squash people together in very tiny spaces.
Are you allowed to run a station that low? Or do
the
FCC
does not give out any more licenses, 10-watt licenses. They stopped doing anything under 100 a while ago.
Really?
Yeah.
A friend of mine a few years ago was looking to start a pirate station in the dorms. He was making sure it was going to be under 100 watts, but it never got off the ground.
Yeah. The guys from the FCC are too busy eating hog jowls. And so
yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's Rick, everybody.
Rick's still here.
I had something important to say.
Go eat your hog jowls.
I'll leave now.
Okay, Rick is friggin' here. And, yeah, Ren and Stimpy, Powdered Toast Man, by request. And Tom Lehrer before that with We Will All Go Together When We Go. You know, sometimes I get annoyed with him, with the Tom Lehrer.
Why?
Because you can't play a single song by him without having, like, this monologue at the beginning of it.
No.
It's hard to play just the song.
I have a record of him at home. It's all studio recordings. There's no live commentary or anything.
Really?
Yeah, it's not the same, though.
Yeah, I know. It does add a lot to it.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you want to, like, you can't segue it.
Cue it up.
You know what a pain in the ass it is to cue a CD? That's why they're indexed. That's why we don't play cassettes. Tom Fenton and Ice Nine before that with Don't Go Down to the Fallout Shelter with Anyone Else But Me off that crazy record that Tom has with the House of Guitars thing on it. And how many of there's like 18 different versions of that record?
Something like that, yeah. Every city that Dr. Demento went to.
I
want to
get a full set.
A different one.
I want to get a complete set.
Good luck.
Maybe if I posted to Rec Music Dementia saying I want one of each.
Yeah, right.
I'm willing to pay, you know.
People on there are bigger collectors than we are.
I bet they are. Okay, Shel Silverstein before that, off the Where the Sidewalk Ends record, and Boa Constrictor and Peanut Butter Sandwich, both of them, back to back. You got a Shel Silverstein double feature with that one. Special show. And Daryl Hammond and Christopher Snell before that with Weapon, which is actually Sylvester and...
Yeah,
Elmer
Sylvester and Elmer and Bugs.
Yeah. Weapon from Daryl Hammond and Christopher Snell. And we started off with the Youpers with We're Still Rockin'.
Could you sound any more excited?
I could try. I could try. I should be a lot happier than this. I just got back from a ska show.
All right.
Yeah, I went and saw Mephiscopheles down at Water Street, and that was a pretty good show. Even though it did start like an hour and a half late. They didn't even open the doors till like over an hour after they said they would.
No.
It was insane.
Standing around outside all night?
Yeah, well, it was still light out. So it was hard to... All evening.
All evening, okay.
Yeah. It's like we got down there like... 7:30, doors didn't open until 8:15. It was ridiculous. And, I dropped the pen. Oh, well, nothing to play with. We'll play with this one. Coming up, we got, we got Faust and Lewis, and we got the Rock and Roll Doctor. Which one should I play first? They're both queued up.
Oh, I don't know.
I think I'll play Rock and Roll Doctor first.
Okay.
And, of course, we still got, you know, end of the show, we got a whole bunch of Fire Sign Theater. And whatever else, we got tons of stuff here.
We'll find something cool to play.
Where'd it all go? Where'd Rick go? Rick.
Ooga chaka, 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 ooga chaka.
I can't stop this squealing deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize how you set me free. When you find me with your chains so tight, you let me know we'll have fun tonight. Cause you're within me. Licorice whips of candy, they stick to my behind. Girl, you got me panting for another length of twine. All the good lust, when we're all alone, beat me up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on. Everybody, cause you're within me. One more time, a cappella. My backside is feeling.
'Cause you're whipping me.
Watch this fade out. Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooh.
Describing your pleasure from dusk till dawn. Rock and roll doctor is always on.
Okay, rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you want to turn your radio down, please.
Hello?
You want to turn your radio down, please.
Yeah, I'm going to the Aerosmith concert, man. I was wondering what kind of drugs I should take.
Okay, Aerosmith, that's heavy metal. You're going to want to stay away from stimulants. They react negatively with the high decibels. When those guitars start feeding back, you're going to be clawing your face off. I suggest rather a mild depressant, beer, maybe some Quaaludes.
All right, man. You got any?
No, I don't. I'd like to point out right here, the rock and roll doctor does not advocate drugs or just prescribe them. Okay, rock and roll doctor, you're on the air. Yeah. Are you having a bad trip, sir? Is that what it is? Yeah, okay. Well, you want the hotline. This is the rock and roll doctor. Next, please try to dial carefully, people, okay? It's very important. Rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Did you see Quadrophenia, man?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should, man. It's really good. It's got all this Who music in it, man. Really good.
Yeah, okay. Well, you have a question here?
Right. Well, it's about the mods, you know. They're like early hippies in England, but they're not hippies. They ride around on mopeds, you know. And
you want to get to the point, please.
Yeah. Well, the mods are like always taking these pills. They're called blues, man. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of blues, man. Like, what are these blues?
As far as I'm concerned, it's Negro music. Blue is not really a good drug color. I suggest try the reds instead. Okay, rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Yes, my sister and I are going to the new Christy Minstrel show at the Playhouse tonight, and I was wondering what I should take.
A good book. Okay, rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, turn your radio down, please. You want to turn your radio down, please, sir?
What?
Turn your radio down.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. That's better. You have a question, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to the Nugent concert.
Kind of figured.
Well, I'm taking some pot and some acid, and I'm going to be taking some coke, and I'm going to be taking a couple of quarts of rum. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there's anything else that I should take.
Yeah, an ambulance. Rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Rock and roll doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had these, pills, and I took them, I think, and do you know what they were, man?
No, I don't.
Well, I was just wondering, who is this?
This is the rock and roll doctor. Why don't you lie down for a couple of days? Do us both a favor. You'll feel a whole lot better. People, when you call in, try to have a question in mind, okay? It just makes the show move a whole lot faster. Rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Yeah, you had a call a moment ago. It sounded like my son. Well, you tell that lousy punk that if I catch him taking any more drugs, I'll clobber him.
Okay, you want to calm down, sir? You sound a bit upset.
Well, you're damn right I'm upset. I think I got good reason to be upset.
Okay, well, you're on your way to a heart attack, sir, or an ulcer at the very least. I suggest you take a couple Valium and relax.
I don't have any Valium.
Okay, well, just stay in the line. I'll get your name and I'll send you a prescription, okay?
Yeah? Hey, thanks.
Okay, no problem. Rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Hello.
Goodbye. Rock and roll doctor, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Detective Johnson of the Drug Enforcement Agency. Doctor, perhaps you'd like...
Okay, that's just about all the time we have for calls right now. We're going to break, take a word from our sponsor, and be back with Timothy Leary.
When will we go free?
From the park now?
No, not exactly.
Did he set us free?
I saw Pharaoh.
Yay! And he set us free!
No. He told us.
Yes?
To make bricks without straw.
What?
Yeah, that seemed to be the, gist of it. He seemed quite, taken with the straw part. But, I showed him.
Yeah?
I took my staff.
Yeah?
Stop him! Gone!
Yeah?
Stuck it in the Nile.
Yeah?
Turned the entire water supply into blood.
Yay!
Well, wait a minute.
If you turn the entire water supply into blood, what are we going to drink?
We shall. Good point.
Yeah!
Stand back! Listen to what curse I put on Pharaoh next.
Hey, look, it's raining pools!
Thank you!
to get this guy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's more.
Oh, no!
For it shall rain toilets, and they shall come to pass in the fullness of time. God knows I could use one right now.
The next thing you know, they'll be telling us our firstborn will be smitten again.
Who told you?
That's right.
I bring unto you these Ten Commandments, written by the finger of God.
What about this toilet from the future?
Look, just forget about the toilet, all right? They're not one of the signs. Oh. Now, I bring unto you the backbone of spiritual and moral code for all of civilization. Bow your heads. You're about to receive the bread of God engraved forever in stone.
Will these toilets be more comfortable?
Silence! Or I shall turn my staff into a fiery asp upon you.
Did he say his ass is fiery?
Moses,
turn around so we may see the fat the Lord has put upon you.
Well?
Well, what?
Where are they?
Where what?
The Ten Commandments.
What?
The tablets! I broke them.
Yes! I broke them. I was angry, wasn't I? Now it's time for the obligatory song. This song is padding, so much padding. We couldn't write something this long. No other you make clever songs that cover our wrongs. When it comes to having an ending, it's annoying, so annoying, to see a big number get done. There are always a bore to watch a big snore. Our musical theater is dying. Okay, the middle part would be here, so everybody seemed to move in some kind of synchronous order.
One, two, it's not clever, never clever, to rely on the false energy. Please promise you'll stop using this crop whenever a sketch is flowing. It's done. Personally done. Please don't leave. We have more show. We never laugh except at some death. When we lyrics fail to rhyme or break the meter of a song in some awkward way.
Well, I was born about 10 million songs ago. I'm the guy who first invented rock and roll. I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary singing Puff the Magic Fairy, and I'll ghost the guy who doesn't like my show. I'm the guy who taught Chuck Berry all his licks. I showed Ringo how to hold a pair of sticks. I gave Morrison the choice of a blues or country voice and kept Janis from a life of turning tricks. I told Goodman he should write about a train. I told Brian Wilson not to go insane. When Mick was very young, I cut off half his tongue and I tried to keep poor Buddy off the plane.
And I was born about 10 million songs ago. I'm the guy who first invented rock and roll. I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary singing Puff the Magic Fairy, and I'll dose the guy who doesn't like my show.
I taught Wonder how to write songs in the dark. I showed Richard how to sing MacArthur Park. Then I did the Harlem Shuffle while I ate a Savoy truffle, and I introduced McGuinn to old Gene Clark. I taught Elvis Presley how to use his face. And I told Phil Lesh he ought to try the bass. I told Owsley to his shop to invest in acid rock, and I launched the Zeppelin into outer space.
And I was born about 10 million songs ago.
I'm the guy who first invented rock and roll. I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary singing Puff the Magic Fairy, and I'm just the guy who doesn't like my show.
I taught Hendrix how to fuzz his Strat guitar. I told Dan and Dina Woody was a car. I rented land from Farmer Yasker. They said Mitchell, I said Asker. When I turned around, Sebastian was a star. I told Santana rhythm was the thing. I taught Fabian and Dion how to sing. I sang high notes with Del Shannon, helped the Fleetwoods learn Rhiannon, and I jammed with Clapton till I broke a string.
And I was born about 10 million songs ago. I'm the guy who first invented rock and roll. I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary singing Puff the Magic Fairy, and I'm just the guy who doesn't like my show.
I told Michael Jackson he should learn to dance. I told True Life Crew that they should take a chance. I turned Motown into funk. I turned the Apple onto punk and bought Bowie his first pair of skin-tight pants. I told Crosby that he'd best lay off the spoon. I introduced Pete Townsend to Pete Moon. I taught Prince how to jive, taught Springsteen how to drive, and told Dylan not to fret about the tune. And I was born about 10 million songs ago.
Songs ago.
I'm the guy what first invented rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary singing from the Magic Fairy. And I'll go to the guy who doesn't like my show.
Television.
Baby on
television.
Baby on
television.
Baby on
television.
Baby on.
I heart my dog's head, but I honk for the Lord. I believe you, Anita. Can't hug you kids with particular arms, but I break for animals. I break for the blues. I break just like a little girl. Virginia is for lovers. If this band rockin', don't bother knocking. I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be dancing. If you can resist, you're too damn close.
Baby on
television.
Baby on
television.
Baby on
television.
I heart my dog's head, but I honk the Lord.
The light at the end of the tunnel. The light at the end of the tunnel
is the headlamp
of an oncoming train. Tell us he's dead.
No. Give it up already.
I'm lost, but I'm making records.
Get your rosary off my ovary. Don't mess with the locals. Yes, I do own the road. Lost your cat. Look under my tires.
My kids, eat up your honor, students. The people leaders will follow. I may be slow,
but I'm in front of you.
My parents think that I'm in college.
Kill your television.
Baby on
kill your television.
Baby on
kill your television.
Baby on
kill your television.
Baby on.
I heart my dog's head, but I honk.
Kill your television.
Baby on
kill your television.
Here we go, master 16,668, take 8.
I'm sick of it.
Television, television.
I'm sick of it.
Television, television.
Hey, Mr. General Public, do you realize that we got a generation here of staring eyes? The women never bother getting housework done. They just sit around gawking at television. The kid, he's never running, playing out of doors. On top of that, they never reading books no more. You ask them who's the father of our countryman, they say was either Walt Disney or Ed Sullivan.
Oh, television, television, I'm a sick from a looking on television.
I got so weak in the eyes, weak in the head likewise, from sitting and looking on television. The burglar comes sneaking in and breaks the latch, while Grandma, she is looking on the wrestling match. She throws him on the floor, although she's 90 years old. She says, I got him with a step-over toehold. I turn on Elvis Presley and my daughter screams. I fear she having nervous breakdown cause of him. I wonder why he wiggle-waggle to the beat. As a boy, he must have had a loose bicycle seat.
Oh, television, television, I'm a sick from a looking on television.
I got the weak in the eyes, weak in the head likewise, from sitting and looking on television. The children of the country eat their dinner, you bet, but they eat it sitting in front of the TV set. They got pudding in their ears from the north to the south, from eating while watching and missing their mouth. Last night a very unusual thing occurred. The baby, he is saying his very first word. I have him on my shoulder for to make him burp. Instead he opened his mouth and say, why it's Earp.
Oh, television, television,
I'm sick of it.
Television, television,
I watch the late, late movie, then I climb the stairs, get into bed and have television nightmares, complete with bad commercials that repeat all night, both incompatible color and black and white. Someday my son grow up and want to go to sea, so he probably go and try to join U.S. Navy. They give him aptitude test, man, now here's the rub. They find him best suited for watching Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, television, television, I'm a sick from a looking on television.
I got a weak in the eyes, weak in the head likewise, from sitting and looking on. Sing it again, man.
Television, television,
oh.
I can't watch this. I can't watch this. I can't watch this. I can't watch this.
My TV makes me so bored, makes me say, oh my lord, what is this garbage here? Wanna cover my eyes and plug my ears? It sucks. And that's no lie, it's about as much fun as watching paint dry. Lowers my IQ one notch. And that's the reason why I can't watch. Told ya, homeboy.
I can't watch this.
Yeah, nothing but trash, and you know
I can't watch this.
Poke out my eyes, man.
I can't watch this.
Yo, give me that remote control.
I can't watch this.
Parking bounce. Six shows is America's funniest home videos. I can't believe my eyes when I see the kind of stuff that wins first prize. Somebody, poor old mom falls down off a roof, lands right on the lawn, face first on a rake. I hear they got it on the 17th take. That's funny. Kick in the crotch, and that kind of show,
I can't watch.
Yo, I told you,
I can't watch this.
Change the channel now, man.
I can't watch this.
Yo, pass the TV guide here, sucker.
I can't watch this.
Cosby Show and Roseanne think I've taken about as much as I can. Judge Wapner, oh my, you gotta be Rain Man like this guy. Said something. It's alright if you like hearing yuppies whining all night. Can't stand Twin Peaks. Wish they'd lynch those donut eating freaks. So fiscal and Ebert bums. Go home and just sit on their thumbs. That's word because you know
I can't watch this. I can't watch this.
Break it down.
Here's how to win money back guarantee.
Tough things fast.
It tastes more like fresh food.
They keep going and going.
Don't hate me because I do.
Could be damaged.
Our prices are insane.
Stop. Prime time.
I'm pretty sure I'll be sick if I have to watch another stupid pet trick. And that guy with a real flag head that goes whoop, 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 his fist in the air. Those weird talk shows about transsexual, not the Eskimos. They're rude, crude, and vile. Just for a minute, let's flip down the dial. Flip, flip, flip.
Some kind of MTV. I might like them more after my lobotomy. Now, why?
Forgotten how long it's been since I heard that song. I haven't listened to that CD in forever.
I haven't listened to it in days.
How do you handle it?
I don't know.
You must have listened to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it. When I bought that CD, I got two books with it.
Two?
I have two books for that CD.
Oh, lucky you.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it, and they're both wrinkled in the same spot.
Probably from when they got jammed into the
Probably, that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, I got two books of that CD, so I got a bonus, which is good because I bought it at Record Town, which was back when I was young and stupid and didn't know any better.
Didn't know well enough to stay out of the mall.
Right. Weird Al, I can't watch this on 89.7 WRTR Henrietta. Stan Freeberg with Television and the Bobs with Kill Your Television. A short little set that I just kind of did off the top of my head about songs that hate TV. Because, as you know, radio folk hate TV. We're just jealous because we don't have the picture.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think the TV people hate radio because the TV people have to look good. Whereas we can do our show in our pajamas if we want.
Yeah. I am in my pajamas right now.
Take his word for it, people. He yeah. is. And,
And Tim's naked.
You didn't have to tell him that. That was our little secret. Stephen Brust before that. With, I was born about 10 million songs ago. I like that song.
Yeah.
I was playing one of my old tapes in my car, and that song was on it, and I was like, oh, yeah. You ever forget, like, what's on a tape?
Oh, yeah.
And you play it, and you hear, like, this song that you haven't heard in years, and you're like, oh, yeah. Except this has only been maybe half a year. Not years. Lester McFlap's kind of a little vomit before that with Moses. The same thing I always play because I like it so much. And Travesty Limited?
Yeah.
With Rock and Roll Doctor. Have they done anything else?
I don't know.
I've never heard of them outside of Rock and Roll Doctor.
I have no idea.
Or him, or them, whatever it is.
Probably a them, I would guess, but...
You would think?
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. And Faust and Lewis started off with Hung from the Ceiling, and which I changed my mind at the last minute. I knew I said I'd play Rock and Roll Doctor first, but as I was calling for Rick, I changed my mind. And
see, I thought you just screwed up.
No, I was like, oh, no, I Hung from the Ceiling first. Because I didn't know, I don't know, I wanted to hear Hung from the Ceiling first. Coming up, we got Reverend Billy C. Wirtz. And over on my other side of me, I have Eric Idle and Neil something or other. Ines?
Ines, I think.
Innes? There's two N's.
Innes, I don't know.
You can't say Ines when
sure
there's two
can.
N's. Do they think they are British? Yeah, Eric, like, Python type of people singing whatever later, and with Reverend over here, and, oh, God, all kinds of things, Dead Ale Wives, and Don White. Don White, I haven't played that
yeah.
in a couple weeks. I can play Don White. If you want to hear anything, 475-2271, you can call up and request it. And we're friggin' here for another hour. And we might be moving.
Really?
I'm not going to say when because I have no idea.
Okay. Just make sure I know about it before.
Yeah, I'll make sure you know first. You will be the second person to know.
Okay, cool.
And all you listeners will be the... third and fourth person to know. Yeah, I don't know. Things happen in the summer. I might get a better time slot. I need
cool.
one, considering I only get 4 hours of sleep after the show every week. Okay, well, we got, I think we'll play Reverend Billy Stewart's Stick Out Your Can. Funny song.
It is.
I wonder if he's ever been to, like, tour. I wonder if he, like, does things. You know what
you
I
mean?
Mean?
Like, stuff?
Like, I wonder if you ever, I've never heard of him outside of his CDs. Like, I've never seen him playing anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And I wonder if he really is a reverend.
I don't know.
That's another thing I wonder about. If he actually, like, maybe that's why I haven't heard about him. I haven't been looking in the right place.
Yeah, tours of convents and churches and
right.
stuff.
Okay, anyway, here's the Reverend Billy Stewart with a song called Stick Out Your Can.
Back in the old days when piano players used to play through the territories, everybody had like a little double entendre song they did. Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts had made a career out of them. And other people did songs like Sam Sam the Hot Dog Man and Let Me Play With Your Poodle and that kind of thing. And so this is very secular, and I'm going to do something a little bit more spiritual after this, but this goes like this. Stick out your can, here come the garbage man. Stick out your can, here come the garbage man. Don't nobody take it out, mama, the way I can. I got a bow-legged mama that'll waddle like a duck. She can't cook, but she loves to fix chicken. When her mama come over for Sunday brunch in Hendersonville. Stick out your can, here come the garbage man. Got another little woman, got a head like a rock. She don't cook either, but she like a nice cocktail on Friday afternoon after a hard day of driving at the office. Stick out your can, here come the garbage man. I'm not a pheasant feather. All right, this one gets me in trouble. This goes, I'm not a pheasant feather plucker or a feather plucker son, but I can pluck a pheasant feather till the feather plucker come. Okay, so. This is David Wilcox's favorite verse. So. I'm not a pheasant feather plucker. Wait, hold on. You know, wait, hold on. All right, you got me messed up. All right, here we go. Not a pheasant feather plucker or a feather plucker son, but I can pluck a pheasant feather till the feather plucker comes. Yes, so that's can, here come the garbage man. So that's can, here come the garbage man. May make it on tape after all. Say yeah, yeah. Stick out your can, here come the garbage, here come the garbage, here come the... Oh, wait, I almost forgot. I got to finish the song. Here come the garbage man. Yeah.
Thank you. This next song is a protest song. I suffered from my music, and now it's your turn. Of doom can always find room in a world full of worry and fear. Tip cigarettes and chemistry sets and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. So I'm going back to my little old shack. Drink me a bottle of wine. And that was mise en bouteille for my birthday, and have me some good time. Rain on a tin roof sounds like a drum. We're marching for freedom today. Yay! Turn on your headlights and sound your horn. If people get in the way. Thank you. turn you on to the chromium swan on the nose of a long limousine. Even hard for the day, it is something to say, but what the hell does it mean? I may be accused of being confused, but I'm average weight for my height. My philosophy, like color TV, is all there in black and white. Rain, rain on a tin roof, sounds like a drum. We're marching for freedom today. Yeah, turn on your headlights, sound your horn. The people, get on the way.
Maureen, great God Almighty Maureen, the fictional queen.
She has been drinking sombreros all night. She's been staring at John, who is perhaps half her age. Maybe 15 years ago, even though she wasn't beautiful, she might have had a slim chance at him anyway. The chance is substantially slimmer today. Now Charlie is giving her the eye, and she recalls his first wife and their reception at the old Legion Hall. And he was muscular back then. What happens to mid-age men? The muscles in their chest seem to fall. Now he looks like he swallowed a basketball. She says, you know something, Charlie, if you lost about 40 pounds and worked out sometimes at the gym, and if you bought some new clothes to wear once in a while, combed your hair, shaved those whiskers off your chin. I'm trying to pitch you now, Charlie, and you gotta admit it's something of a challenge. So give me a couple minutes here if you could. I think you'd still be ugly as sin. Give me a break, Maureen. You ain't no beauty queen, no matter how much rouge you put on. And she knows he would rather be taking home Sarah. He knows she would rather go home with John. Dream on, mid-age divorcees, dream on. And Charlie and Maureen aren't the king and the queen. They're just grabbing whatever they can. And when they get it on, she imagines he's John. He imagines he's Sarah McMahon. It ain't love, but hell, it ain't so bad. He says, hey, you wanna hear a funny one? Soon your daughter will be 21 and drinking down here with her mom. And I want to see the look on your face when she comes up to you one day and says, I'm moving in with a man in the morning. It's that cute guy down the bar who's named John. She says, have you heard that age-old line? They all look good at closing time, 'cause you're drunk and your options are few. Well, I have had 12 drinks, give or take a few. It is last call now, 10 till 2, and Charlie, I'm looking at you. And I don't think that old line is true. Charlie and Maureen aren't the king and the queen. They're just grabbing whatever they can. And when they get it on, she imagines he's John. He imagines she's Sarah McMahon. It ain't love, but hell, it ain't so bad. Now, at this point, Charlie and Maureen's enchanted evening, as it were, Charlie's had 14 Budweisers and 3 of those remarkably illuminating shots of peppermint schnapps. He's beginning to become profound and philosophical. He looks over to Maureen with this look of impending nirvana in his eyes, as if perhaps he's experiencing some sort of spiritual illumination. Satori in barroom, if you will. Not to paraphrase Kerouac, although I do understand that it is mandatory in some painfully hip folk venues close to Harvard Square that you do paraphrase Kerouac at least once during every performance.
having fulfilled that obligation, I'd like to tell you what Charlie said. He said, "Excuse me, Maureen." I just had this strange thought. I think you and I are like the Red Sox. We're always trying to catch up from behind. Always go big in the first inning, and through the whole game we're winning. Then we give up the grand slam in the ninth. Maureen, I think we're the best fifth place team of all time. She says, "That's brilliant. It's philosophical. Lord, I need another sombrero. Here's the key. Please warm up the pinto." And it's a story without a miracle. The ending is predictable. The drunk Juliet, the fat Romeo. They're not exactly inspiring, but at least they're not alone. And Charlie and Maureen are not the king and the queen. They're just grabbing whatever they can. And when they get it on, she imagines he's John. He imagines she's Miss December 1993. But he has the good sense not to tell her that. He'll be sleeping in the damn pinto. It ain't love, but it ain't so bad.
Thank you.
I had a friend I could trust. He went into the park and got busted for doing the ring around a rosy ride. Went in the park late at night and he put a lot of people over 80 upside. He was doing the ring around the rosy ride. Ring around, rose. Touch your nose and blow your nose and mine. Doing the ring around the rosy ride. Ring around, rose. Touch your nose and blow your nose and mine. Doing the ring around the rosy ride. We ought to send Officer Joe Strange some Australian mountain range, so we all can do the ring around the rosy ride. Would you like to put Philadelphia up that one night? The ring around the rosy in the middle of the night. Yes, we ought to do the ring around the rosy ride.
Well, son, you know how the pressures of life can cause people to do crazy things. And if a person does too many crazy things, then that person is crazy. Sometimes you can keep yourself from going crazy by doing things to relieve tension, like drinking or having sex. But if craziness goes too far, sometimes the only thing left to do is to cut out that part of your brain that makes you crazy. That kind of brain surgery is called a frontal lobotomy. Maybe this song will help you understand what I mean.
Jimmy and I are brothers. We went down different paths. Jimmy always listened to my mother, and
me, I never liked to take a bath. As we grew and tumbled through adulthood, the pressure caused emotional drain. And now I'm slowly dying in the bottle, and Jimmy has to live with half a brain. Yes, me, I've got a bottle in front of me, and Jimmy has a frontal lobotomy. Just different ways to kill the pain the same. But I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than have to have a frontal lobotomy. I might be drunk, but at least I'm not insane. Jimmy let his troubles drive him crazy. He never tried to drown it in a drink. I know that drinking makes my thinking hazy, but at least I still have brains enough to think. Jimmy's got a brain that isn't stable. He doesn't have the sense to say his name. I'm sorry that his doctor was unable to remove the proper portion of his brain. Yes, me, I've got a bottle in front of me, and Jimmy has a frontal lobotomy. Just different ways to kill the pain the same. But I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than have to have a frontal lobotomy. I might be drunk, but at least I'm not insane. Funny how the world works. People can be real jerks. Some prefer the tension over booze. Either way, it ends the same. Hard to beat the living game. Might as well enjoy it while you lose. When I need a drink, I start to shiver. And Jimmy always viewed it with concern. But I'd rather have cirrhosis of the liver than an intellect that's second to a fern. I wonder if old Jimmy's gonna hear it when I tell him that his logic wasn't sound. They'll dose him up on lots of evil spirits when they take him to the psychiatric grounds. Yes, me, I've got a bottle in front of me, and Jimmy has a frontal lobotomy. Just different ways to kill the pain the same. But I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than have to have a frontal lobotomy. I might be drunk, but at least I'm not insane. I might be drunk, but at least I'm not insane.
What?
I don't know. 89.7 WITR, Henrietta, Modern Music and More, 2:20 in the AM. We're friggin' here. We're friggin' doing a break now.
Because we friggin' feel like it.
That's right. Randy Hanslick, MD, Dr. Rock. With, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Arlo Guthrie before that with Ring Around a Rosy Rag. He fools you with that one. He thinks he's going into Alice's restaurant, and you're thinking, oh man, 20 minutes of this crap. And then he does like this Ring Around the Rosy Rag. And I have played Alice's restaurant before,
yeah,
a couple times.
Yeah,
I think almost time to play it again.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking another month or so. Be time to play that one again. You think like a month is a long time, but really that's like what, four shows?
Four shows, yeah.
That's nothing. Don White with Charlie and Maureen. I like that song. How come they had to put Lijah on the basement tape and not Charlie and Maureen?
I don't think Dr. Demento's ever played Charlie and Maureen.
I don't think he's ever played anything but
he's played Lijah. I think he may have played one or two other songs. Lijah became a Funny Five hit.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it got
that's
on the basement
tape. That's probably why,
tapes.
Yeah. Well, I wonder who picks his songs, if he picks them.
He picks them.
Does he like, oh, I like this song?
Yeah, pretty much.
But, I mean, does he, like, listen to the whole thing?
Yeah. And
yeah.
I can prove that because he's the stuff he's played off of my tapes,
mm-hmm.
They've always been, like, towards the end of the tape, which means he at least listened to the first half of it, so.
Right.
He does listen to the whole thing.
I wonder... Does he listen to everything he gets?
Yeah.
What's he do? Get up in the morning and like spend the entire day listening to the
pretty
tape
much,
he got
yeah.
in the mail, listening to his mail. That's insane.
He does. He listens to every tape he gets personally. He guarantees that.
That's pretty cool. I've tried to do that with at the other radio station I worked at.
Yeah.
The music director there tried to listen to every CD that came in, and he had a really hard time doing it because we were getting, you know, 20, 30 a day.
Yeah.
It was tough. That's like 20 hours of music a day. It doesn't work.
No.
Where were we? Oh, Don White, Jelly and Maureen. Yeah, so sometimes, I don't know, Dr. Demento will play the hell out of like one song, and I'll think another one on the same album is a lot better. And he just never gets around to playing it, which is really weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
Neil.
Here we go.
Neil, before that, the protest song is actually called, on this is called the Old Gay Whistle Test.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the meaning of that is, where that came from.
I don't have a clue.
But on just about any other thing you see that song on, it's called the protest song. And sometimes it's attributed to Neil Innes or Innes or whatever. Sometimes it's attributed to Monty Python. I don't know. It's Neil, though, who actually wrote all the songs that Monty Python ever sang.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does all that. He wrote, including the entire Ruddles album.
Oh.
He did, like, all that with George Harrison's help.
Cool.
And, yeah, Neil's the musical one who hardly ever gets any credit. And Reverend Billy Siewertz before that was Stick Out Your Can, and that was that small set of songs. In the last 20 minutes, coming up, we got Dead Ale Wives, because I said I'd play it earlier in the show. Mentioned it. And in about 20 minutes, I'll play Firesign Theater, and that'll be the end of it. That'll take us right up to 3 o'clock. So anything you want to hear, call now, 475-2271. You got 20 minutes before impending doom. So here you go with some Dead Ale Wives that hopefully you've heard before. If you haven't listened really closely, it's worth listening to.
Dungeons and Dragons, Satan's game. Your children, like it or not, are attracted in their weaker years to the occult. And a game like D&D fuels their imagination and makes them feel special, while drawing them deeper and deeper into the bowels of El Diablo. This afternoon, the Dead Ale Wives Watchtower invites you to sit in on an actual gaming session. Observe the previously unobservable as a hidden camera takes you to the inner sanctum of Dungeons and Dragons.
Galstaff, you have entered the door to the north. You are now by yourself, standing in a dark room. The pungent stench of mildew emanates from the wet dungeon walls.
Where are the Cheetos?
They're right next to you.
I cast a spell.
Where's the Mountain Dew? In the fridge, duh. I want to cast a spell.
Can I have a Mountain Dew?
Yes, you can have a Mountain Dew. Just go get it. I can cast any of these, right? On the list? Yes, any of the first level ones.
I'm going to get a soda. Anyone want one? Hey, Graham, I'm not in the room, right?
What room? I want to cast Magic Missile.
The room where he's casting all these spells from.
He hasn't cast anything yet. I am, though, if you'd listen. I'm casting Magic Missile.
Why are you casting Magic Missile? There's nothing to attack here.
I'm attacking the darkness.
Fine. You attack the darkness. There's an elf in front of you.
Whoa! That's me, right?
He's wearing a brown tunic, and he has gray hair and blue eyes.
No, I don't. I have gray eyes.
Let me see that sheet.
Well, it says I have blue, but I decided I wanted gray eyes.
Whatever. Okay, you guys can talk to each other now if you want.
Hello.
Hello.
I am Galstaff, Sorcerer of Light.
Then how come you had to cast Magic Missile? you guys are being attacked.
Do I see that happening?
No, you're outside by the tavern.
Cool, I get drunk.
There are seven ogres surrounding you.
How could they surround us? I had Mordenkainen's magical watchdog cat.
No, you didn't.
I'm getting drunk. Are there any girls there?
I totally did. You asked me if I wanted any equipment before this adventure, and I said no. But I need material components for all my spells, so I cast Mordenkainen's faithful watchdog.
But you never actually cast it.
Roll the dice to see if I'm getting drunk.
Yeah, you are.
Are there any girls there?
Yeah.
I did, though. I completely said when you asked me.
No, you didn't. You didn't actually say that you were casting the spell. So now there's ogres, okay?
Ogres? Man, I got an ogre slaying knife. It's got a +9 against ogres.
You're not there. You're getting drunk.
Okay, but if there's any girls there, I want to do them.
There you have it. A frightening look into America's most frightening pastime. Remember that it's not your children's fault that they're being drawn into a satanic world of nightmare. It's their gym teacher's fault for making them feel outcast when they couldn't do one single pull-up.
Well, it's getting to be that time of year again, right, boys?
Yeah.
I got another big deer story for you. The 30-point buck, tail number 2. I was throwing the cows over to fence some hay. The chores were all done. It was opening day. Orion the hunter was fading in the sky. It was almost time for the lead to fly.
I made it to the stack.
Just before light, the boys had been drinking since all through the night. They were singing our favorite deer hunting tune about that Yahoo named Clyde and his gun.
Betty Lou.
But now there's Polly the poor girl. She's a dirty 10 gauge side by each tomahawk over and under with cruise control.
With the photon phaser banana clip? Yeah, the model IRS PS. Interswamp radioactive stud busting side on.
Oh. It's got a 30,000 gigawatt deer shiner and cigarette lighter in the butt.
Like a prom dress.
As the season began, the boys were running round in circles looking for their stands. We watch hunting videos by all the big game studs like Ted Bear, Fred Nugent, and Elmer Fudd.
Kill the rabbits, kill the rabbits, kill the white quiet.
It's deer season, you know. So I'm up in my tree, nothing's moving except the beans in my gut. Just a gurgling and a brewing. I buckered up my cheese tree, tried to hold back.
One, we have liftoff.
There it was.
Hanging from my
bootleg. Upside down, burning right off the stand. 10 feet off the ground. I just got stuck in midair.
That sure did suck.
Next, when I seen it there, the 30-point buck.
The 30-point buck.
Ah, did you see the 30-pointer?
Did you see the 30-pointer?
Yeah.
Did you see the 30-pointer? Did you see the 30-pointer?
Did you see that 30-point buck? Godzilla with horns was snorting at me. There was fire in his eyes and bag tags in his teeth. I swung the gun around. That buck was all mine. This old 30-30
could bring down Frankenstein.
I'm going to give that mega buck the Powerball. Yep. Right up your bingo hole. Yeah, and the winning number is... As the gun went off, smoke covered my face. The bullet ricocheted off his horns and snapped my bootlegs. I landed right on his points, falling back to the ground. Antlers caught my droop, I started dragging me around. And there he was.
Ducking.
That buck was really ducking. Sometimes even Brooklyn went flying over the horns as he hit the bridge. Bounced off his nose, landed flat on my cakes. Boys all had the buck fever standing side by each. I yelled, shoot him, boys, shoot him, that's some to be.
Somebody shoot him.
Did you see the 30-pointer?
Did you see the 30-pointer?
Yeah, it was a 30-point buck.
Did you see the 30-pointer? Did you see the 30-pointer?
Did you see that 30-point buck? Yeah, we threw everything we had at him. Sandwiches, candy bars, an old ice cream for him. Finally, that idiot from Illinois nailed him between the eyes with a Zippo and a roll of toilet paper. Yeah, the woods were on fire like a napalm bomb, and then a big flash of white, and there he was, gone.
Ha 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 ha!
Go, 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 go death was just like sugar.
You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago. For he may eat your city soon. You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago. It was just like sugar.
You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago. For he may eat your city soon.
Wackadoo, wackadoo, wackadoo.
You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago. If he's still hungry, the whole country is doomed. It's in trouble. If he's still hungry, the whole country too.
Last week I attended a fancy buffet for Steve Lawrence, like a Steve Gourmet. And Edie, a mean step right in his way between the Waldorf salad and the chef's souffle. And Steve said to Edie, you're looking not too thin. Edie smashed a human thigh bone on Steve's double chin and then proposed to Edie the very next day. She'll be Mrs. Edie Lawrence, Edie, I mean gourmet. Forget about inflation, forget about Japan, forget the elections in Afghanistan or World War III. Who will lose or win? Because Edie is mad at Steve. Edie is mad at Steve. And Steve is mad at Edie.
WOTR
Henrietta.
Modern music and more.
And friggin' Ogden Edsel. With Edie Amin meets Edie Gourmet.
Did you spell it right?
Of course. I've reached my goal. I now know how to spell Edie Amin meets Edie Gourmet. And do you know what that song's about yet?
Yeah, I think I got it figured out.
You think you got it figured out? I wonder if everyone who's listening has it figured out. You see, the deal is, Edie Gourmet is having this thing, or is Edie Amin having this thing? Anyway, one shows up at the other's thing, and Edie Amin wants to steal Edie Gourmet's wife, or something like that. And they fight over it, or something like that, and it's like this bitter commentary on how it doesn't matter what else is going on in the world, if Edie Amin is mad at somebody, you'll hear about it, and it'll be in the news. Even if it's something as trivial as him wanting to take Edie Gourmet's wife.
Right. Okay.
That's what that's what it's about. And I really like it. But before that, there were some other songs. And I'm going to tell you what those were in reverse order.
Right.
It was Dr. West's medicine show and junk band with The Eggplant That Ate Chicago, an old 60s tune.
Yep.
And before that was Kenny Young and The Eggplant. You see how those work together? Eggplants? Okay. With Eddie's Apartment, And Bananas at Large with the 30-point buck, too, by request. And Dead Alewives with Dungeons and Dragons. And those are all really good. I like all those songs.
Yes, so do I.
In fact, I like. Maybe I'll just play those over and over. Those five songs. Okay.
That'll make for some great radio.
It's just about time for us to play some Firesign Theater. We're going to play side one of a record, the entire side, because it's all one track, of a record called Everything You Know Is Wrong. And we're... Everything You Know Is Wrong, Firesign Theater, put out back in 1974, according to this. And if you like Firesign Theater, then you'll probably like this. If you don't know what they are, I suggest you stay up and listen, because they'll probably be pretty good. What do you know about Firesign Theater?
Not much.
Not much? I don't own any, so I don't know, like, I don't have, like, personal knowledge of it very much, but I know we have a ton of it, and I've heard, what I have heard, I have listened to.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, if it's on, I listen to it. And, that's the next 20 minutes. That'll take us up to 3 o'clock, and then I'll be signing off, and, we won't be friggin' here anymore. But we will be friggin' back next week, as always.
Uh-huh.
Well, you might not be.
I might not be.
He might not be. I'll be here. So, at least you can look forward to that. And I'll have all his stuff, so we don't need him anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll have somebody else. Maybe there'll be a surprise guest next week. All right. But here is Firesign Theater, and we're leaving. So see you next week.
Don't know how you came by this record, but you are now embarked upon a journey that must certainly lead you to change your life forever. If you were never a special person, you are a special person now. Hello, Seeker. Now don't feel alone here in the New Age, because there's a Seeker born every minute. Yes, I'm Dr. Happy Harry Cox, and call me Happy because I am. Because you're listening to another in a series of my mind-breaking records, Men Never Lived on Earth, which started off with I Came From Outer Space, followed by Strangers at Our Door, which includes the ultra-high-speed recording of real famous music from Jupiter. If you haven't got them, buy them now. I was right about the comet. Get them and see why. Write me here in my award-winning communication trailer, Space Nyan, Blue Mouse Trailer Resort, Hellmouth, California, 90666. Dogs flew spaceships.
The Aztecs invented the vacation.
Men and women are the same.
Our forefathers took drugs.
Your brain is not the boss.
Yes,
that's right.
Everything you know is wrong.
Hello, Seekers. Here we go again, and hello especially to the skeptic inside you who might still believe that pigs live in trees and that faithful Rover is nothing but a pet sleeping by the doggy door. Well, doggone it, he's smarter than you'll ever be. Yes, I've got proof here that his ancestors came from the dog star millions of years ago to rule the earth. He's been there, and you probably don't even know where you are. Don't believe it? Well, listen to this.
Well, first I thought it was a big old dog, because of the way it howled and how it had them big friendly eyes. But I had to ask myself what the hell it was doing up in the graveyard, digging up the ground with a shovel. Thought I was crazy. I'm not a drinking man on duty, Mr. Cox, not me. You know, I figured it was one of them werewolves we're having, so I slipped a wooden load in my shotgun, and then all of a sudden, now this is going to sound crazy, a big dark thing with flashing lights come up over the top of the hill. That one right over there. It's about 100 miles an hour. This dog, or wolf, or whatever it was, took off like a bug rabbit with that dry hump over there. Hey, just a minute, will you? Hey, I'm not a drinking man, Mr. Cox. I swear to hell I saw it.
That was no crazed sterno bum, but a respected law enforcement officer, Sheriff Luger Axhandle of Heater County, California. And that wooden marker over the grave where the creature was digging? It bore a mysterious inscription. Much faded with time and wormholes, it read, "No name, died 1897, with this curious epitaph, not from around here, but a real square little feller." Now, I tracked down this story to Lem Ashhaller, who's editor of the Hellmouth Heater Democrat.
Well, it published monthly back then. There's a lot happening, you know.
Oh, 1897.
The big yellow jacket epidemic.
Oh, really?
That was very fashionable in those days.
April 19th.
Yeah, it's a bunch of funny storms.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. Here it is. April 19th, 1897.
Yeah,
strange occurrence at Proctor's Well. Yeah. Well, this story pops up about every 10 years or so. Happened over in Curio, Arizona, about 20 miles out of side river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Came crawling
out of a well wearing lady's shoes.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know what milk was. Repeated everything anybody said. I'm reading it. Real little, smooth like baby's feet, with big friendly eyes. He sounds like a real nice guy. Took him to the Swiss picnic for a good time, and he choked to death on a piece of cheese. And then the end of the story.
Curio, Arizona, crumbling remnant of the Old West, or could it be the final resting place of a little guy from outer space? Could be, could be. All I know is everything you know is wrong. Think your children are as innocent as a new puppy next door? Well, they know something you don't know. They know that their American forefathers took drugs, and you probably don't even know where your father is.
Nerdy Mushroom Films presents Ben Franklin, Hero or Hophead.
I wanted the woods and the Indians to sleep with me, but I was afraid of the cold and made them sleep outside. So I never felt the touch of a warm, naked Indian, or in a cold, naked forest.
Ben Franklin, the only president of the United States who was never president of the United States. Was he an early drug user? Let's see. He wrote of it in Poor Dick's Conspiracy in 1761, while still an apprentice bookmaker in colonial Philadelphia.
So I betook me to the Hash Fire Inn for a secret caucus of the hotheads, rebellious libertines all lusting for life and liberty. The real George Washington brought the hemp, and Ollie the evening papers. We quickly proceeded to get Clara Meadows and young Tom Everson goodly stretched by the hemp, which smoked us all like Boston scrub. What a fetid fervor of freedom.
I say, let's have revolution.
It must fiery Sam, the tax collector, to which Big Ben replied,
"Fine, Sam. Then we can invite over a bunch of immigrants and make cars."
Yes, 1761. Hemp kindled the fire of American history. Nerdy clockwork filaments. Men and alternate history. For an alternate culture.
Well, I guess I don't have to tell you everything you know about the revolution is wrong. You know that now. But did you know that Indians can be in two places at once? That they can change into animals? That they invented the wire recorder? Well, I've seen it. I've heard it. Now listen to this. This is a very rare recording from long ago.
What is it?
Seems they recorded one of those old-time medicine shows.
The news! The war is over! The brutal reduction law has been defeated by the gentlemanly agricultural South.
Ha, see? Bet you didn't know the South won the Civil War.
Left,
Mr. Daddy.
No true Mississippi cowhard would leave his wine cellar undefended in such a dangerous time.
Okay, we don't want this part in here. It gets up to
think of the balls you'll have.
You're too young to think about that, Beulah Balls. Bells.
Okay. We've got to get to the heart where the heart is. Hey, what
is wrong, that war criminal?
More of the
Uncle Tom, you're back!
Uncle Field Marshal Thomas Lawry, quadroon, honey, I'm back, and I'm beautiful.
I'm so glad that you're back, Tommy.
See, there are many, many things that you don't know.
Right,
everything Tom, you know is wrong.
I forgot. You're a free man now.
Oh,
no, I ain't, General. I'm just... Pencil, as a professional sailor, you've been watching over this cutie old woman for over 60 years. And now you plan to put your puppet hat, put it right here, in the bag. Bless for me, I die first. It's a new world, honey. Nobody gwan have to be a slave all the time. No more. We gwan take time. And guess who's joining in now?
Pretty wild bunch of miners. Now here comes the medicine show part. That's Professor Archer. Now, this was a Dr. Firestein from Antique Theater, I think it was called. There have been books written about it. Okay, now, let me find the part here with the brush.
History, ladies and gentlemen, chickens and Mexico.
That's Archer.
From beyond the grave to the famous dead Indian hero, Chief. Dead stick knockout.
Very famous medium of the time. Okay, now that's drug number one. Now they added in something else.
Internal application. A Don Brew. Inca Hell Oil Tonic.
That was extremely potent. Now I'll find the...
This is... as clown milk, Judge yep. Rensburg, and to prove it, Professor Archer is preparing a quotation for our personal libation.
That's Bowman.
One part of the pace. The pace.
Okay.
One part. Of the juice.
The juice.
And just a poke. Now, hello. Thank you, Archer. Yes, we will now drink it before your very eyes. Say, here's a toast to the brave and bully boys of the Arizona Territory.
Bowman had no sooner lowered his glass than he witnessed the sudden transformation of Professor Archer into a large silver crow. They both turned into crows. Each lifted his wings in surprise and rose like a shot, leaving the little town of Curio, Arizona, and its bewildered populace 500 feet below, silent specks on the vast western desert floor. Unable to speak to one another, pursuing the same course, they soared like brothers all that day and perhaps another, floating on each other's thoughts, never moving their wings, yet journeying a great distance to the sun.
Look down, dear sun, a river of buffaloes drinking from a hidden spring. Can you see in their midst a white buffalo?
Balanced on a raft of water in an endless river of reeds, they conversed inexplicably with an ancient cockroach in a sombrero they knew instantly to be
Don Brouhaha. Follow this snake,
he said.
Follow this snake. This snake is a river,
he said. And they jumped on the snake and rode it hard like a bronco where the snake was swallowed by the sea. And they looked in a direction they had never looked before, and they saw a city of gold and amber and crystal in the sky at the bottom of the sea. And at the gate of that city, a white buffalo was grazing. Raising its great head, met their gaze directly.
I thought I turned that off. Damn!
Nude Age Enterprises. I'm busy.
You don't know what this is, Cox.
Is that you, Nino?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, it's me, Nino, the great mind boggler.
Nino!
Yeah. Listen to this. I'm calling you from inside a steel box at this Syphilis Socialist People's Institute of Electrical Shocks and Psychic Surprises.
Can a you steel dig box?
It? Yeah, they're studying me again.
In Russia?
Cox, listen, that's not what I'm talking to you about now. I got terrific news.
Yeah?
They told me it's all right to talk about them.
They did?
Yeah, now listen, they want contact with you.
With me?
Yeah, something's going to happen. Have you received any messages lately?
Boy, messages? No, not out here. Oh, hey, on my phone, my answer phone.
Yeah, okay, maybe, possibly, yeah.
Okay, look, I'll play it. Oh, look, I'll have to put you on hold so I can listen back to it, okay?
Forget it. Look, I just move over to the TV, yeah?
Oh! God, that's spooky, Nino. How do you do that?
I don't know. That's what they're trying to find out.
Oh.
Can you see me? What do I look like?
Yeah, very clear. You look square, black, kind of regular.
That's the steel box!